I don't think any of us expected that Lent would go like this. None of us really signed up for this, did we? But sometimes you choose penances for yourself, and sometimes penances are given to you. And so we see all over the place different penances that we'll have to endure for weeks on end. Empty shelves at grocery stores and long lines just to buy food and toilet paper. We'll see cancellations of events and school closures. No college basketball. That's a penance. No hockey. All of these penances that will now just become the new normal for us. And not to mention sickness and fear of sickness. This has been the predominating fear all throughout our world, especially now here as it hits close to home. We're not sure what to do. And we find ourselves in our Lenten journey at a loss. What's coming next? But I can't help but see our situation play out in the situation of the readings today. This first reading of the Israelites traveling throughout the desert. They get to a place where they realize, wait, this isn't what we signed up for. We thought we were leaving Egypt for freedom. We thought the path that lay ahead of us might be an easier one. They'd passed through the Red Sea, they'd seen the Lord provide, and now they come at this place of desperation. There's no water. They're in a desert. They have no idea of where they'll turn to. And you can hear the fear in their voices when they're grumbling, when they're complaining. They say to Moses, "Why did you ever make us leave Egypt? Was it just to have us die here of thirst?" They're at a place of desperation and fear, something that they didn't sign up for. But it's in that place of need and wanting that the Lord can provide for them again. And so he tells Moses, "Strike the rock, and the water will flow from it for the people to drink." In this place of need, they had no idea where their need would be fulfilled. It came from an unknown source. It came from a rock. But it's exactly the place that the Lord had provided for them. And there's this rabbinic tradition that after Moses struck the rock there at Meribah and Massah and gave them water to drink and satisfied their thirst, that the rock followed them, because they were in a desert for 40 years. They had to go from place to place on their journey, and you can imagine in a desert that their thirst continued. And so the Lord needed to provide for their thirst on a daily basis. So the rock that Moses struck followed them in a certain sense. Now, it probably didn't physically follow them, like this rock rolling behind them. You might think of like the movie Frozen and these rock creatures like following. Don't judge me, I have seen Frozen and I thought it was pretty good. Maybe it happened in another way. Maybe when they came to another rock in the desert, Moses struck that one and again water gushed forth, because it wasn't a one-time provision. The Lord would provide for them for all of the needs they would have. Their thirst would continue, and so would his provision. And there's this saying that the Old Testament is fulfilled in the New Testament, and the New Testament is hidden in the Old. And so in the rock here of the Old Testament, we can see a foreshadowing. We can see the promise of the New Testament hidden. That the rock of our salvation the rock of Jesus Christ, the stone rejected by the builders that became the cornerstone, will provide for his people forever. Jesus is that rock hidden in the Old Testament. The rock that provided for Israel is the same rock that will provide for us, the rock that will pour forth living water. We see this fulfilled in our gospel today, in the Gospel of John. Jesus is that source of living water. He's that source of life. He's that source in our desperation and in our need. He comes to this woman in the noonday, in the heat of the day. He comes to her in her need. There's an interpretation of why this woman would be at this well at the noonday, at the heat, in the first place. The interpretation would be that she's there alone. She's there in the heat when no one else is collecting water because of her shame, because of her sin. We hear later in the gospel that she had five husbands. And everybody in the community knew that. And so she couldn't go to the well at the time where the other women would go to the well because she bore that shame. She bore that rejection, that isolation. She couldn't go there because she was afraid of what they would say, either to her or behind her back. And so she went at another time when she knew no one else would be there. And that's when Jesus came. He came at that exact same time. He came in her need. When she was isolated, when she was shameful of her sin, when she was afraid, Jesus came to her. And he comes to us in our fear. He comes to us in these coming weeks when we will isolate ourselves out of fear. He comes to those places. He even comes to the people listening, perhaps to this homily online in the coming week. Those who could not come to Mass today and have isolated themselves. He comes to us. He provides for us. He says to the woman at the well, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." He extends it. He gives himself freely to this woman and to us. And we want to say with her, "Sir, give us this water so that we may not be thirsty." She receives exactly what she needed in that moment of crisis and desperation. And what does she do after she receives? She is sent. After she receives the living water of Christ, she goes and she spreads it. You know, we're hearing all about the spread of things in our climate, the spread of bad things. This woman spreads the life that she had found in Christ, the hope, the joy. And that's a model for us. You know, as we certainly try to prevent the spread of death, at the same time, we Christians need to recognize we can spread life in our current climate. We can spread hope. We can spread joy to those who are fearful, to those who are isolated, to those who think there's no way forward. This is the great dignity and duty of the Christian, that we point people to the source of life that we have found. I have found life in the living water of Christ, and I want to show you where it's at. I want to show you where you can find it too, even in your desperation and loneliness and fear. She says to the people of her town, "Come see a man who has told me everything I have done." And the people she's talking to knew what she had done. Could he possibly be the Christ? She becomes that evangelist, that one who would show people the source of her life. And so we too, as we receive the living water of Christ, we want to point it to others. We want to show people how we have found hope where there was no hope. We have found joy and life where there was no life. And that we would keep striking that rock of Jesus Christ. When we are thirsty, we strike the rock. When we are in need, we strike the rock. We keep coming back to Christ, knowing that he will satisfy our every longing.